You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, the practice fields are getting watered right now here in Berea, and we got a lot of rain coming down as we get set at the end of the month for the start of training camp here in Berea with the Browns. Jim Donovan and Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura off today, and I want to thank again Doug Deacon for stopping by. I had a lot of fun talking with him, and we covered a lot of ground talking with him as we get set.
Absolutely.
For, you know, some of the really interesting, intriguing battles.
Yes.
The makeup of a guy like John Greco, what's his makeup coming in here, being challenged at this point in his career by a high draft choice.
Yeah.
You know what was amazing when I visually looked at Cam Irving, and when I would watch him at Florida State, when he was playing center, he did not fit the body style of a typical center, did he?
No.
He's huge, and he's got a long wingspan. I mean, you know, Alex Mack is a center.
Right.
Alex Mack's a center. Those pouncy guys, they're centers.
They are.
You know? But, and I'm sure guys you played with, they just have a blockish kind of look.
They do.
Cam Irving was a huge guy.
He was.
Like an albatross.
And what's so great about him is, it just goes to show what type of how great of an athlete he is.
Yeah,
you know, to play in between, you know, two guards
right.
that might be a little athletically challenged, you know, at some point, but then to be able to go out to the left tackle or right tackle position and take on the best pass rushers that there are.
Okay, so he'll be very interesting to watch in training camp, and I'm sure they're going to give him every opportunity now to cash in on what they did with him in the draft at the 19 position when they selected him. Jason Gibbs is producing and has some of our forecast for today.
Yeah, guys,
what are we forecasting?
This is the forecast for the Chicago Bears,
who will be the Browns' final preseason opponent. And usually it's a very, very strange game. The fourth preseason game
is a strange
game because basically you see the Chicago Bears wearing Chicago Bears baseball caps or golf caps on at the game because you don't see the Bears.
You don't.
Yeah.
Now, it was
Remember there was a kid a couple of years ago. He's an Ohio State kid. That, you know how we said Isaiah Crowell made the team or put him on the practice squad.
Right.
Because of the game he had against the Bears. The kid Sonsenbacher.
Yeah, Dan Sonsenbacher.
Had an amazing game against the Browns in the last preseason game one year at the stadium here in Cleveland. And the Bears had to bite the bullet. I think he made the team.
He did.
Yeah, he made the team.
He went on to play multiple more years
in
Cincinnati as well.
Absolutely.
Well, and 2 years ago when we played the Bears in Chicago, Josh Gordon played in that game. Do you remember the first quarter? It was Josh Gordon and third teamers. And Josh Gordon made them all look silly because he was going to be suspended for the first two games.
That's right. And I remember the first play in the game. That's the game that Hoyer played the whole game.
Yeah.
Remember, because the Browns were holding back the other guys.
Well,
and Hoyer played the whole game. And anyway, what Jason's alluding to, the first play of the game, Hoyer, who wants to look good, because he really wants to put himself on tape, play action fake, and you look down the field, and was Gordon 40 yards wide open on that play?
I'm fairly confident we were closer in the booth than any bear was on the field.
I'm telling you, he was 40 yards in the clear on the play. It was unbelievable, and you're right. It was more than man versus boys with Gordon out there in that game, and he was not thrilled to be out there.
No,
I'm sure he was.
It gave us something to talk about.
But it was the last time he could be with them for – how long was he suspended that time?
The two games.
Okay.
It was only two, I think.
All right. Okay, there you go.
Well, and don't forget, Hoyer played because he was supposed to split the game. He was supposed to play the second half.
Right.
And who was the veteran quarterback we had that got a, quote, case of the sniffles or cold and couldn't go out there?
Oh, who was it? I mean, Whedon was here then,
right?
No, but it wasn't Whedon,
The longtime NFL journeyman.
I'm usually razor sharp on this. I can't remember.
He was going to be like the second or third string. It was like he was going to be the second string. Played with the Redskins. Now I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
Anyways,
someone tweet that. Tweet us that.
He played at the end of the season that year.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of those. Anyways, he basically didn't want to play in the scrub game.
Yeah.
And
he had the flu, didn't he?
He said he had the flu.
Yeah, and I can't remember who it was. Okay, but I do remember Hoyer, and they won the game.
Yeah, they
ended up winning the game. Hoyer played the entire game. And I think the Browns were very, very thankful that he did that.
I'm sure.
And it earned him, you know,
an opportunity.
Yeah, an opportunity, which he really turned into something good. All right, are we forecasting?
We are ready to go.
Okay.
Number one.
All right, this is a good one here that involves the Browns and the Bears. Who has more pressure on them this season? Offensive coordinator Adam Gase of the Bears or new Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo?
Boy, was that not the golden boy a couple of years
yes.
ago?
Yes.
I mean, that was the guy who everybody wanted, and especially here, just to interview him.
Right.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like you were going to get him, but just to that he would grant you an interview.
Yes.
And it seemed as though Peyton Manning was, like, controlling his future.
He always does.
Okay. I would say him.
I'm going to say Adam Gase as well.
I think anything in Chicago,
Chicago
has a lot of pressure.
Big market, a lot of pressure. Jay Cutler, they're paying him a lot of money. And so they've got to perform as a tandem. Otherwise, one, if not both, are going to be gone sooner than later.
I just wonder when it – I mean, there are times that Cutler looks phenomenal, okay? And now he's got a lot of tools.
He does.
He's got a lot of toys. He's got big, talented wide receivers.
Ashlon Jeffrey, Kevin White.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got the running back.
Yeah,
he's got
Forte.
I mean, they're always trying to improve their offensive line. He invariably gets hurt every year at some point. But he's always seems so damn moody.
Yes.
That he just doesn't – he doesn't buy into it.
He doesn't seem like a leader or
Yeah, I mean, he had trouble with everybody.
Teammate.
Mike Martz, I don't know if he got along with Trestman. But I would say the pressure, anyone coaching him has always got a lot of pressure on
yes,
him.
Yes, they do. Yes.
By the way, the quarterback we were talking about, Jason Campbell.
Oh, that's right.
Was supposed to start, and then
right.
he didn't.
Right, he did
and Hoyer.
Sniffles.
Yeah, sniffles.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. Jason Campbell. Yep.
Number two.
Question number two today, guys. Should the Bears continue to ride out the Jay Cutler train at the quarterback position, or should they go to Jimmy Clausen or other?
Ooh, Jimmy Clausen.
I'm going to go, you have to ride it out. And I think it's. You hope that Adam Gase, new offensive coordinator, and John Fox create a mentality inside of Jay Cutler's head to be a little more judicious with that football. He's a gunslinger, but he throws it to the other team. And as you mentioned, Jim, not the best teammate, not the best leader. So hopefully John Fox and his ability to lead at multiple teams or franchises that he's been with humble Cutler a little bit. And I think also, too, the number associated with Jay Cutler right now is very hard to move on from.
Yeah. I would have thought a couple of times they were going to pull the trigger on him and go elsewhere and maybe even to go and try and get it in the draft. I don't think they have the answer behind him.
They don't.
I mean, yeah, I really don't. And so I think they just continue to ride it out with him. He will always live under that cloud, maybe unfairly, of that NFC Championship game against the Packers. Remember that, Jason,
yes.
when he got injured in the game, and a lot of people thought he wasn't as injured as he was. It was reported, but it seemed that he was. But it was just the negative vibe around him. You know, a lot of people root against him. You know,
yeah.
You definitely have a feeling about him. There's no middle ground with him. You either love him or you hate
him. Exactly.
And sometimes the people that hate him. Strong word, but sometimes the people that hate him outnumber the other guys by an awful lot. And the problem for him is if they hate him in Chicago. But I think that you're right. That number is a problem moving that.
Number three.
Is the loss of Brandon Marshall addition by subtraction for this franchise?
The answer to me is yes and no. It is because you went out and drafted Kevin White, number 7 overall, and the second wide receiver overall selected in this upcoming draft. And if he can live up and develop into the type of player that Brandon Marshall was, it is addition by subtraction. But then I think also, too, is Brandon Marshall has proven to be a playmaker. And I think every franchise has that guy that you say, you got to take the good with the bad. And to me, Brandon Marshall was that guy in Chicago.
I remember here in a Thursday night game, Brady Quinn's first start in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns. They played a Thursday night nationally televised game against Denver here. The Browns had a 13-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And I remember Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler as the Bronco quarterback putting on one of the most incredible aerial shows to the point where young Brandon McDonald, the cornerback of the Cleveland Browns, was reduced to tears in the locker room because he was just, you know, just
there was nothing he could do.
There was nothing he could do. They had Eddie Royal on the other side. Do you remember that game, Jason?
I mean, they caught
the Browns and they went by the Browns in a blink. He threw for almost 500 yards in the game.
I just remember Brandon McDonald's nickname was Lockdown. and he was anything but locked down.
No, he was
that
not
night.
A lockdown, and he was in the corner of his locker in the locker room, just in tears after the game.
Number four.
Final question today, guys. Over-under in Vegas for the Bears is 7 wins. Mm. Will they go over or under that number?
I'm going to go
tough division.
I'm going to go over.
Tough
and
division.
Say 8-8, and a lot of that has to do with a little bit of what I've mentioned earlier. I like John Fox as a head coach. I think he stabilizes that organization. I think more so than anything, he stabilizes Jay Cutler, gets him to be a better team guy, gets him to be a better leader, which will in turn become better quarterback play. More touchdowns. He's got many assets on the offensive side of the football. The one key factor that I'm looking forward to out of the Chicago team, which you might not see in that fourth preseason game, is how they transition from that cover two Lovie Smith defense to that 3-4 defense that John Fox is going to be playing with Jared Allen in a stand-up position rushing the passer, similar to the transition Paul Kruger had to make here to Cleveland.
Yeah. Boy, John Fox is an immediate help wherever he goes. He has instant success wherever he goes. Now, it helped that he had Peyton Manning out.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, but they did play very good defense that year, too. I would say that's a tough division. Mike Zimmer's doing a great job in Minnesota.
Teddy Bridgewater.
And they'll have Adrian Peterson back.
Yes.
Okay, Green Bay is Green Bay. Okay, Detroit scores a ton of points.
Yes.
I'm going to say they're going to go under.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to go under. I really do. But we'll see them, as we always do, right at the end of the preseason on that last Thursday night. They take us right into the Labor Day weekend, those Chicago Bears. We're going to take a break. Matt and I come back to wrap up, which has been a lot of fun here on Cleveland Browns Daily, on what has become a rainy day. And Berea, you get the forecast, too, on the 10s. Here on ESPN 850 WKNR.